Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show this Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Always a privilege being with you. This is a faith and values program that tries to intersect faith and values with what's going on locally and globally. It tries to give you hope for, I'm really known around here at WBT as the hope guy. And I love to give hope to people because, folks, you can't live one day without hope. We've got to have hope in our lives in order to continue to move forward. So here we are in a continued pandemic with all kinds of COVID crisis information at our fingertips. We're also still watching at least two major cities in America, Portland and Seattle, on a regular occasion burn with all kinds of protests and anger in the streets. And many of us, myself included, do not understand how anyone can approve of violence and destruction, because violence and destruction only begets more violence and destruction. Dear friends, you do reap what you sow. If we sow to the wind, we will reap the whirlwind. If we sow continued seeds of anger and destruction, that's what will ultimately be reflected. So we watched that happen. And again, we're in the middle of our election season. We've just had the Democratic National Convention, in an eerily strange way, conclude its convention, virtual, online, television, but didn't look real, looked very wooden, looks very staid, but it happened. And that's interesting within itself. And now we're getting ready for the Republican National Convention. We find ourselves in between two political parties, and obviously this week we've seen one party make all kinds of promises to us, and we're getting ready for the other party to give those kind of promises as well. And how in the world do we vote with all kinds of, here's what I say I'm going to do, but I'm not really going to do it? And we have the frustration of the hypocrisy of people's words not matching their deeds. So today's program is going to look at the one whose promises are always true, the Lord God of hosts, the God of heaven, who oversees everything. But Ed, before we get into today's program, looking at some more of the names of God, and Ed Billick, my producer and friend, has opened up his mic, and we're going to talk about this today. When you think about politicians continually making promises but not coming through on them, how in the world do you handle that?
Well, you know, you listen to what they say and you say, gosh, that sounds great. Boy, that's what I want. Go. I'll vote for that person. But I always like to say, David, and we'll talk about Jesus as well, the words have to match the actions.
Yeah.
You know, how did you vote on a certain matter? What did you say? What was your action on a certain matter versus what you're saying now? Both parties are terribly guilty of it. But Jesus' actions matched his words.
Yeah.
His words matched his actions.
He did indeed. And interestingly, he told all of us, don't judge, lest you be judged. In other words, he was saying, you know, take the log out of your own eye before you try to take the speck out of another eye. I mean, all of us are so selfish ourselves, so we need to be very careful about criticizing other people. But I've had people ask me through the years, well, does that mean that we never judge somebody? We never look at their lives? We never try to see if their actions match their words? And the answer to that is no, because in a similar place in Scripture, Jesus said, look at their fruit. As you're trying to judge a person, look at their fruit. Don't just listen to their words. And he said these powerful words, not all those who call me Lord, Lord are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, you've done all kinds of magnificent works in my name, but you aren't going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So it's just interesting to me, Ed, that even Jesus warns us about the very thing you're talking about. Look at how somebody lives. Don't just listen to their words. And that's some of yours and my struggle with some of these political statements, where people make all kinds of promises, then they get into power and they vote the very opposite of what they said they're going to do.
And then in life, we're all supposed to be true. Truthful, okay, and say things that are of truth. I have a hard time with the political commercials in every newscast. I keep hitting the mute button because I don't need to hear any more than that. But anyhow, that's the world we're living in, David.
Well, we have created a critical feeling in people's hearts. Our culture is filled with a critical nature, and it's passed down to every possible level right now. One of the reasons we can't be unified and we can't come together is because we need to manipulate other people, criticize other people in order to control other people. We see that especially in the political arena. And as we move forward with our nation, we've got to find a way to biblically speak the truth. truth in love. There is truth. I believe there's absolute truth. I don't care what postmodernists say. 2 + 2 = 4. It will always equal 4.
In your daily moments of hope, your written daily moments of hope that folks can subscribe to. You've been talking about love this week.
Yeah, if anybody would like to go to momentsofhopechurch.org, they can get those daily devotionals
in
that I write.
In your inbox, in your email inbox.
Come every morning at 6:59, and they give you just a brief moment of hope. That's what its title is. Please go and subscribe. It's free. It's just my opportunity daily to give you a moment of hope. Because, dear friends, again, you've got to speak the truth in love. And when you do so, you can have hope. And if you don't have hope, you can't keep moving forward. Every single one of us needs it. When we come back, we're going to look at some of the names of God that might give us hope today to believe that He's still in control, even amidst all that's going on. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back.
WBT, a radio.com station.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. You know, Ed, I listened to those words, and Ed Billick, my producer, is joining us. I grew up in Sunday school and learned the golden rule. You know, I think we've de-emphasized the importance of keeping our kids involved in church, in houses of worship, and how much they absorb even when you don't realize it. You know, I think we've moved oftentimes in church to, we've got to segregate the children and get them out of worship so the adults can enjoy it and we'll teach them at their level. You know, I remember sitting next to my mom and listening to sermons that my dad would preach and other things in the worship service. And if I started getting wiggly, she would give me the old proverbial motherly pinch on the knee, and I would suddenly sit up and listen. And, you know, I didn't like that a whole lot. I thought those services were boring. But looking back now, I absorbed a whole lot more truth during those times than I realized.
And you absorb the proper behavior of just listening and sitting still. And the Lord was speaking to you. You may not have understood it, but yeah, He was.
Yeah, you know, I learned the Apostles' Creed during that period, and now I can recite it verbatim. And during times that I feel alone and I don't think life makes much sense, I can say I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord.
Look at you. As a Catholic altar boy, and we learned the prayers in Latin before they converted, I could still say it's a Dominus Vobiscum, and I could just, that stuff just keeps reverberating. But back to your point, as we were children growing up, a lot of that just stuck with us.
Yeah, and I just think we need to reclaim that in a lot of ways for our kids. And again, they're absorbing more than we realize. My wife, Marilyn, always says kids are little sponges, and they're really absorbing a lot of truth. And we need to give them those opportunities to be exposed to that truth.
It was pretty cool. Today, you're going to talk about all the different words of God.
The names of God. Yeah, you know, interestingly, Ed, Jesus said, pray in my name, and whatever you ask will be given to you. And, of course, that's in accordance with His will. But also, there's something powerful about His name. His name means Savior, so we pray in the name of the one who saved us from our sins. But also, you know, yours and my relationship, if I called you Mr. Billick all the time, we wouldn't have much of a relationship. You know, early on, you know, you wanted me to call you Ed. I wanted you to call me David. Why? Well, that's our names. And when you start addressing someone by their personal names, it increases the personal relationship. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, it's in His powerful saving name, but it's also intimacy with Him. You're really talking to your best and closest friend. In Proverbs 18:10, it says, the name of the Lord is like a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Well, isn't that interesting? There's power in the name. It's like a strong tower. You know, if you're fighting someone, you always want the higher ground. And so when you're fighting and you're in the strong tower, you're higher than the other person, you have power over that person. So when you run into the name of Jesus, it's like running to a strong tower. You have power over your enemy who constantly pursues you. So in the Bible, there are many different names of God, often following the name Jehovah. Now, that's not just Jehovah's Witnesses. They seize the name from the Bible. The word Jehovah means the self-existing one or the existing one. It means the one who is. So in the Bible, you have many different stories that then conclude with Jehovah, then a name of God, that gives us indications regarding who he is. Let me give a few of those, and then I want to center today on one more than others. The first one would be Jehovah Jireh, which means God is my provider. In Genesis 22, when Abraham did not sacrifice Isaac, God stopped him. God provided a ram, and then the angel called God at that point, Jehovah Jireh, God is my provider. So, Ed, how different would lives be if people used the name of Jesus as God is my provider, ran to that strong tower, and really believed that every day as we face, for example, this coronavirus and its financial implications, how people are worried about their finances, if we really believe that Jehovah is our Jireh, our provider, and then in accordance with Philippians 4:19, he would provide our every need according to his riches in Christ Jesus, according to the name of Jesus. I find that absolutely fascinating that God meets our every need, not our greeds. You know, he's not here to make us healthy, wealthy, prosperous, but he is here to meet our every single need. So we are to depend upon him every single day in the name of the Lord, Jehovah Jireh. God is our provider. Here's another one. God is our healer, Jehovah Rophe. In Exodus 17, as the Israelites are leaving Egypt, they get thirsty, they find bitter water, they start complaining to Moses, complaining to God. God tells Moses to drop a log in that bitter water. He does so, and all of the bitterness is absorbed in that log, and the people then drink sweet water. God then calls himself Jehovah Rophe at that time. God is my healer. And dear friends, I hope we can believe that too amidst this coronavirus. And I don't mean to be flippant when I say this, but honestly, for people of faith with the coronavirus, one of three things is going to happen. You're either never going to get it, so spend your day praising God. Secondly, you'll get it and get well. So praise God, he's built within our bodies healing properties that allow the body to heal. Or third, you're going to die and go be with him. And if you really believe heaven's a whole lot better than this place, if you believe the eternal city, Jerusalem in heaven, is much better than any earthly city here, then praise God. You're going to be there with a perfect resurrection body, a perfect life without any disease, turmoil, trial, difficulties. You're going to be with your loved ones. So even the third option for those of us who believe is a good option.
No,
so,
no, of course,
why be afraid?
I'm going to wear my mask. I'm going to do all the good things.
Sure.
But to your point, it's in God's hands.
It really is, Ed. And I don't know how you can live on this side of eternity in constant fear.
Well, back to the anxiety piece, you know, so being worried about it. Do what you're supposed to do, and the good Lord will take care of you, or he should.
I don't know where else you land with anxiety. You know, I wrote a recent book entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety. If our listeners would like to get it, go to Amazon.com. Again, Moving Beyond Anxiety. But it's 12 ways to deal with anxiety. And one of them, for me, more and more becomes primary, and that's the belief that God's on his throne, that he's overseeing everything, and the more I trust him as he oversees this world, I am free from anxiety. So, again, not to be flippant, but there are one of three things that's going to happen with the coronavirus, and let's live in faith, doing what we need to do, but also not letting anxiety and fear cripple our hearts, because God is Jehovah Rophe. He is God, our healer. Another name is Jehovah Nissi. As the Israelites are coming out of Egypt, they're attacked by the Amalekites. They are their mortal enemies. They're sniping off their weakest at the end of the line as they're walking toward the promised land. It is a huge battle then that Moses begins sending out Joshua with the Israelites to do battle against the Amalekites. And interestingly, Moses goes to a top of the hill with Aaron and Hur. Aaron is his brother. Hur is probably his nephew. He lifts up a rod. It's the same rod that he put toward the Red Sea that parted the Red Sea. And as long as he held the rod high, the people in the battle won. As long as his arms started to droop, the battle started to be lost. So Aaron and Hur keep his rod lifted up. They even put a rock underneath him so that he can sit down. And then at the end, when Israel wins that battle, God is called Jehovah Nissi, which means God is my banner. When you go into battle, oftentimes there's a banner that's lifted up on the top of a pole, and soldiers fighting keep looking at that banner, and they believe they can still win as long as that banner is still lifted up by one of the soldiers. When that soldier goes down, it causes discouragement among the people. Well, they looked up on the top of the mountain, and as long as Moses had the banner lifted up, they won. So God calls himself there Jehovah Nissi, God is my banner, or God is my warrior. As long as we keep looking to him in faith, he fights the battle for us. And then here's another name of God, Jehovah Raha, R-A-A-H, and it's found in Psalm 23:1. It's in the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. That's Jehovah Raha, the Lord is my shepherd. And Ed, when you think about a shepherd, a good shepherd, he loves his sheep. Interestingly, in even Mideastern times today, say a sheepfold of 100 sheep, the shepherd knows every single sheep by name. So if they're all grazing and the shepherd calls out, Wooly, you know, if he named one of the lambs Wooly, that lamb would pick up his head and start looking at the shepherd because the shepherd knows each sheep by his name. And there I think of Isaiah 43:1-2. God says, behold, I have redeemed you and I've called you by name. He knows each one of us individually by our names. And the good shepherd takes care of the sheep, leads them to green pastures, still waters. He takes care of them in every possible way. That's our God. And when we know that name of God, Jehovah Ra'a, we can trust him to take care of every single need in our lives. Here's one other one, Jehovah Sabaoth. It's throughout the scripture, but it means the Lord of hosts. And there are two ideas there. The word hosts in the Hebrew can mean creation. It could mean the sun, the stars, and the sky. So really, as the Israelites lived amidst the godless Canaanites who worshiped idols, it was a reminder to them that God is the Lord of creation, that we're to worship creation, the creator, not the creation, the one who created the stars and the moons and the sky, not the creation itself. So many of our problems in life are caused by us worshiping creation rather than the creator. And I challenge all of our listeners to think about the ways they worship the creation, things, objects, and they put all their energy in owning and possessing rather than the one who created everything. So this is a reminder that God is the creator of everything, but also the word Sabaoth can mean the host, the angelic host, the angels of heaven. And we'll actually look at that later on together in a program. But God created the angels to serve us. And I think we can call upon the angelic hosts of heaven to come help us in our times of need. I would invite everyone to call God by his name, Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the angels, the Lord of the angel armies. And he created them, Hebrews 1:14, to come and meet our needs when we are in trouble. The Bible's full of times when God's people have angelic visitations, angels who come to them and help them in their dire times of need. So everyone, please understand how powerful the names of God are, that God is our provider, he's our healer, he's our warrior who fights for us, he's our shepherd, and he's also our one who sends angels to help us. In a moment, we'll look at another name of God that I want to spend the rest of the program looking at, Jehovah Shalom, that God is our peace. What a great message. We'll look at that in just a moment. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Your Sunday morning message of hope here on WBT to try to give you hope amidst a coronavirus that continues, amidst racial tensions that continue, amidst all kinds of election cycle narratives that continue and will at least until November the 4th. Woo! So much going on in our world. We need a message of hope, and that's what I'm trying to give to you today. By looking at some of the names of God in the Bible, the word Jehovah is a Hebrew word for God, and it means the self-existing one or the existing one. And there are several places in the Bible where God is given a name that is to encourage our faith and hope. We looked at some of those in the previous segment. Let me go over them real quickly. That God is called Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Rophe, our healer, Jehovah Nisi, our warrior who fights for us, Jehovah Ra'a, God is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, Psalm 23:1. And also Jehovah Sabaoth, which means the Lord of hosts, which implies that God created everything, so we don't need to worry about anything. But also that he is the Lord of the angel armies, and he sends angels to care for us when we are in need. We need to call upon the Lord to help us. We also need to ask the Lord to send us angels. Psalm 91, verses 10 and 11 says he places his angels in charge over you. So we have great names of God. And there's another one I want to look at right now. It's called Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom.
Now, many of us have heard that shalom from our Jewish friends. What's that mean?
Well, it's a regular phrase.
It means a greeting, right?
No, it's Hebrew. It's a Hebrew phrase.
No, I meant a greeting, though.
Oh, it's a greeting. Yes, it's a greeting from the Jews. It's also a way of saying goodbye as well. Okay. It's just an interesting word that they use regularly. And a lot of people think it just means peace. And it does, but there's so much more to the word. Here is the definition of shalom. It's not just the absence of conflict, but it is well-being, harmony within, harmony without, health, wholeness, happiness, quietness of soul, prosperity, tranquility, and safety. So when you meet your Jewish friends and they say shalom to you, they're not just saying, hey, hope you have a peaceful day. They're saying, I hope your life is really going well. I hope everything in your world is operating perfectly. I hope you have quietness of soul, tranquility of heart. But I also hope that you have success and prosperity and abundance. So when the Jew wishes that to you at the beginning of a conversation, that's what they're saying. At the end of the conversation, when they say goodbye and they again say shalom, they're wishing again for you to have prosperity of life, quietness of soul, a full wellness within who you are.
It's a very rich word, isn't it?
It's a powerful word. It's what God promised to the Israelites and what they live by, what they think is rightfully theirs in their relationship covenantally with God. And it's something they want the whole world to have because they know the rich meaning of being in right relationship, having well-being of soul, harmony within in and out with God himself.
I love the tranquility, the peacefulness. It just it resonates.
It's supposedly a desire that everyone have a relationship with God, and they know how much he loves them. And in that love, he's taking care of their every need, plus giving them blessings beyond anything they could ever hope for or imagine. So Jehovah, the self-existing one, is called Jehovah Shalom, who is our well-being, our quietness of soul, but also our peace. That's how the word is mostly translated in the Bible, peace. Now, Ed, here's something interesting I found this week that I think is fascinating. In the 3,530 years of recorded history, that's just the time we've written down history, 286 years of those 3,530 have had peace. Only 286 years have had peace. 14,351 years have had war. And during that time period, 364 billion people have been killed in conflict and wars. Over 8,000 peace treaties have been signed during that 3,530 years. Guess how many of them have been broken? Every single one. Because real peace is not the absence of conflict. Real peace is something that has to exist in the heart. The real problem with all the wars and conflicts and all the anger in the streets right now has much more to do with the human heart than it does circumstances. It's because of anger and hate that people are expressing these violent acts on the street. So what God wants us to have is not that kind of warring anger in our hearts. He wants us to know him as Jehovah Shalom. He wants us to know God as our peace, as our well-being, as our quietness of soul. And as we live then together in a quietness of soul, that's what will allow the human race then to have peace. Peace isn't from without. It's got to be from within first, and then the without can happen. So I want to look at for a second this whole idea of God being Jehovah, my peace, Jehovah, my quietness of soul, my harmony within, my health, my safety, my prosperity, my tranquility, because that's something the Bible talks a lot about. So let me give just a few biblical insights into places where that word shalom peace is used. For example, in the book of Leviticus, God outlines for the Israelites in Leviticus 3 and 7 their need to have what's called a peace offering. And it was oftentimes an animal whose blood was shed to forgive sins and then bring God's shalom, his prosperity and tranquility. And it's just interesting, even then we saw the need for the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. And of course, we who are Christians see that ultimately enacted in the life of Jesus, his death on the cross, his blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins forever. And when we know forgiveness and we know there is now peace with God, we have shalom. That's what God wants us to have. He wants us to know forgiveness, which leads to his tranquility of soul, the quietness of spirit, and then a prosperous blessing that he will give us as he moves us forward in life.
As you describe that, there is a feeling within that comes when you're at peace.
Yeah, and may I remind all our listeners, if you trust in God, your sins are forgiven. If you believe what Jesus did on that cross really matters, your sins are forgiven, and not only forgiven, but forgotten. If you went to God right now and asked him about your sins, he'd say, I conveniently remember forgetting that. God's an eternal amnesiac. It's such great news. And if people know that their past has been forgiven, they have a future filled with hope, they can have shalom.
Yeah, so where is anger then? If that peace is resonating with inside you, then anger cannot enter.
It can't be there, Ed. And why in the world would you destroy property and destroy other people? Lives when you have the prosperous shalom of God living within your own heart. You won't do it. You'll love in accordance with how you know you've been loved.
Peaceful people don't act that way, right?
So I want people to know the power of Jehovah Shalom. And interestingly, in one of the prophecies about Jesus in Isaiah 9:6, it says he is our everlasting Father, wonderful counselor, and remember, Prince of Peace, Prince of Shalom. He is a ruler of Shalom. He wants all of us to have that kind of blessing. Oftentimes when Jesus would heal somebody, he would say, go in peace. He would say, you've been healed, now go in shalom. Go in the full blessing of all that God wants your life to be. In John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I give to you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. You know what the word he uses there is? You got it. It's erene, but it's a transliteration in the Greek of the Hebrew, shalom. He says, shalom I give you, not as the world gives, but I give you my shalom. It's his very presence inside of us, the full blessing of what God desires. When Jesus appeared in his resurrection narrative in John 20, two times to his disciples, he said, peace be with you. I mean, they hadn't seen him. They're afraid. And all of a sudden he appears. What are his first words? Shalom be with you.
You know, since the pandemic at the Catholic Mass, we always used to say peace be with you. And you'd shake hands with everybody around. You'd point to people, you know, before the Eucharist, before communion. Today, we're not doing that.
Yeah, you got to do that social
distancing. I missed that. So, David, peace be with you.
Yeah, to you too, Ed. And now you know what that really means. What you're saying to the person is I don't just want your life to have an absence of conflict. I want you to know the full blessing of God within. I want your life to be blessed beyond anything you could possibly hope for or imagine. You're wanting that person to really experience the incredible, abundant grace of God and have shalom, the fullness of peace that God wants all of us to have. And interestingly, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will be yours. That word again is erene, transliterated shalom. How do we get that kind of shalom? One way, Paul says, is through prayer. You know, make your supplications known to God, verse 6, with thanksgiving. Live a life continually filled with thanksgiving. When you're thankful to God for all he's given you, oh, you then are filled with what? His peace that passes all understanding. You're filled with his shalom. And actually, in Ephesians 2:14, Paul says that Jesus himself is our shalom. He is our peace. So when you know him, you know your sins are forgiven. You know his presence. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know he gives you what you need for that day. And when you live in that kind of relationship with him, your life is filled with shalom. So that's another name of God, Jehovah Shalom. I hope all of you know that today. Continue to trust that God will provide your need, but also give you his abundant shalom. When you do, your heart will have peace. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back.
A radio.com station.
This is the star. This is your heart. This is the day you were born.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to hear this program in its entirety, a chance for all of us to get a glimpse into some of the names of God, which should increase our faith and our hope and our love, and then drive fear and anxiety away, please go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, and you can download the podcast, The David Chadwick Show, from beginning to end. Also, many thanks to Ruth Chris Steakhouse, and also my friends at Perry's Fine Jewelry for your support of the program. It means so much to me that you would sponsor this show weekly and allow me to tell people about the hope they can have in our risen Lord. So thank you again. Well, we've looked at some of the names of God, Jehovah, meaning the self-existing one, another name for God in the Bible, and the places where Jehovah is used to describe who God is. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He'll provide your every need, folks. Jehovah Rophe, God is my healer. He will heal you, even of the coronavirus, and your healing could come even if you die, because then you get a resurrection body and you're healed. He's also Jehovah Nissi, the one who fights our battles for us. Have faith that God is fighting your battles right now. He's Jehovah Raha. The Lord is my shepherd. He cares for you deeply. He is your personal shepherd, and you are his sheep, and he knows you by name. And also Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. He's Lord of the angel armies. He commands his angels to come care for us. Ask God to send you an angel. You may not see him, but invisibly he might just be there to protect you, maybe even a guardian angel. Some people believe in that, a personal guardian angel.
We need to hold that topic for a future show and kind of pursue
Well, let's
that.
Come back and do that in a couple of weeks, Lord Sabaoth, and look at angels, who they are, and their work in us. I've asked the question to many groups through the years, have any of you had an angelic visitation? Every time, one or two people raise their hands. And in the Muslim world right now, interestingly, there are a lot of dreams and visions, angelic visitations as well, coming to Muslims, telling them about have faith in Jesus,
yeah,
and he will take care of your
needs. Let's talk
about
who are angels.
Yeah, we'll look at that. They're messengers from God, but he is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the angelic armies, and we can ask him to call upon those angels and send them to us to help us in times of need. But we've also, Ed, looked in, during this program at Jehovah Shalom. The meaning of the word shalom is not just the absence of conflict, but total well-being, harmony within and without, health, wholeness, happiness, quietness of soul, prosperity, tranquility, safety. That's what the word means. So when our Jewish friends say to us, shalom, that's what they're wishing upon us. Not just peace, not just like in your Catholic tradition, passing the peace. You're really saying, I want the best for you. I want a fullness of life. And that's who God is. He is one who wants the best for us. He wants a fullness of life. And I believe with all of my heart that he can be not just our peace, the absence of conflict, but our blesser, the one who wants to give us good and great gifts for our lives today.
When you put yourself in that place, that peaceful place, and it could be with prayer or quietness, then evil thoughts or the devil cannot enter.
Yeah, and when you are living in God's shalom, when you know the self-existing one as the Jehovah, quietness of soul, prosperity, blessing, that kind of Jehovah, how can anxiety get in? When you really believe God's meeting your every need, but also prospering you in abundant ways, how can fear enter? You just can't. So I'd invite all of our listeners today to know Jehovah Shalom, to know God who is our peace. And when you do, there's no way anxiety can ever enter your heart. So in Romans 5:1, Paul says that since we've been justified by faith, we now have peace with God. And the word he uses there is Irene, which is transliterated shalom. We now have the shalom of God because of the forgiveness of our sins. We are now having peace with God. You know, in Romans 5, Paul says we once were enemies against God. We were in conflict with him, and he was trying to impose his will upon us, but we warred against him. And yet Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins. I find that so meaningful, that while we were still yet sinners, while we were still yet enemies, while rebelling against him, God still came and died on the cross to give us his shalom. Now we have shalom with God. We have peace with God, and that's such a good thing. But also, we have the peace of God dwelling within us, and Ed, that peace comes by his presence. By his presence. And when we have his presence, we can face any obstacle in life. So when our soul is disquieted, we go back to him and have him quiet our soul, because he is Jehovah Shalom. He is God, our peace.
That peaceful world that you describe, is that not then heaven?
It is indeed. And we can have a slice of it here. We can begin to experience it here, but we'll still battle with sin and decadence on this side of eternity. One day it'll be taken away. And what will exist in heaven is perfect Shalom. In everybody's heart, we'll all have perfect peace, perfect quietness of soul, and all of God's blessing. One other final thought here is, when the Jews were in the captivity in Jeremiah 29 in Babylon, the instructions from God through Jeremiah the prophet was to the people, build homes, get jobs, raise kids. In other words, live your lives in that city, even though a godless, decadent city, live your lives well for me in that city. And then here's what's so cool. He said, work for the shalom of the city. Work for the prosperity and blessing of the city. Even though they were a foreign people in a godless land, they were to work for the blessing of the city. And Ed, that's my final thought to all of our listeners today. Those of us who live in faith look at this world and go, oh, what a godless world it is. But God's called us to enter that world and to be his people in that world. And all of us in Charlotte and around the world should work for the blessings of this city. We should work for the shalom of this city. So where there's hunger, we give food. Where there's need for clothes, we give those clothes. Where there's need for water, we give water. Where there's need for visitation, we visit the lonely. Where there's a need for affordable housing, we step in to try to solve that problem. Where there's need for more transportation among the needy, we step in to try to provide that. We work hard as people of faith for the welfare, for the shalom of the city. And when we do so, if the city of Charlotte, if every city is blessed by God, guess who else gets blessed? I do. So we work for the blessing of the city so that the city will be blessed as well. That's my final message today, to know Jehovah Shalom. God is my peace for everyone today. Could we pray together?
I think so.
Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are our provider, our healer, our fighter for us, our shepherd. You are the one who sends the angel armies to provide for us. You're the creator. We also thank you that you are our peace, that you give us your very presence, which allows us to know your prosperity. Father, today I pray that everyone out there would know you in these different names. I pray that in their different difficulties, they would cling to you and see you provide whatever they may need. For as you do, Lord, we're new people, new creations, and the old has passed away and the new has come. And we can face each day not with despair, not with fear, but with hope, because hope is what we need, Lord, to keep moving forward in this day. We have peace with you now. Our sins are forgiven. Thank you for that. We now have your presence within us, and your presence allows all disquietness of soul to flee. And Lord, we also desire to work for the health of this city. Lord Jesus, you said that the two major commands of all of the Word of God are to love God and love your neighbor. Let us love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and might, because you're Jehovah, the name of God, in all these different ways that will meet our every need. But also we pray that you would teach us how to love our neighbor, that we would work for the welfare of this city. We would refuse to be angry. We would refuse to be divisive. We would live as people of hope and not despair. As we do so, we help the city of Charlotte and other cities become healthier. Shalom is brought to the city. And as the city prospers, we prosper. So, Lord, help us very simply to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and might, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And when the world experiences you as God, our peace, the world is better. There is all kinds of selfish ambition that is crucified, and we are living totally and completely for you. I pray this in your name. Amen.